It is the 7th of May. Oh my goodness, we got 2 weeks of instruction left. And then the final, when's the final? Tuesday. The Tuesday of that week. Contact me if you're going to be out of town. We'll make other arrangements. It starts actually at 8:10. But don't worry, I'll stick around all morning long. And we'll find another room if we have to. I'll give you as much time as you need. But it actually starts at 8:10, which is kind of strange. It's a little bit. Okay? What are we doing? Close. Well, I want to close both. Okay. So because we're ready. Okay, let's take a look at how we're doing here. Oh, that bum. Didn't you just know that they weren't going to make a deal with China? Didn't you just know it? They were going to at the end. Screw you. That's how Dean J. Trump works. You know, the rule of law used to mean something in the United States, you know? It used to, but not anymore. I guess it's kind of like when the Roman Republic turned into the empire, when Caesar decided he was going to not listen to the rule of law and took over, and the military backed him, and that might happen here. I don't know. You might not have. Anyway, so we lose 2%, 3%, 2%. We were up 20%. Now we're up 18%. But still pretty good. What? 21. Did we hit 22?
No, we hit 21 one day.
Well, I think we hit 22 one day. Yeah. So, but still, you guys are awesome. You can't help pinch a Trump. Deranged Donald. Have you seen the new one, Deranged Donald? The new hashtag, Deranged Donald. Okay, and want to sell anything? Ooh, look, Boeing was up. Everybody's a winner except for Boeing, and we got rid of Canopy Growth. But these held up, so you guys are the best. Awesome, well done. All right, so who's got a new joke? Anybody got a good joke? Kathleen, you got a good joke? Not today. You want to hear a Microsoft joke? Okay, this is the Microsoft joke. Well, I think there's lots of Microsoft jokes. But how many Microsoft engineers does it take to screw in a light bulb? No, that's hardware. They only do software. They don't do that. Okay, that was bad. Okay. How about another one? So this woman had been married 3 times before, and she meets another guy, and she wants to get married, and he wants to get married, and they want to have kids. And so they're on their wedding night, and she says to him, she says, I know you're not going to believe me, but can't you get here on time at least? Okay, take these outside and get to work, okay? Take a this guy's pulled up. Oh, yeah, that holds up. So on her wedding night, she says, I know you're not going to believe me, but I'm a virgin, and you have to believe me, or else this is it. He says, you don't have to play this game with me. You know, I know you were married 3 times before. She goes, no, you have to believe me. He says, all right, well, what happened with the first guy? Well, my first husband had a medical problem, and I wanted children, so that's why I divorced him. And he says, oh, well, what about the second husband? The second husband turned out he was homosexual. He wasn't interested in me. And I wanted children. That's why I divorced him. And he says, oh, what about the third husband? She said, well, the third husband was Bill Gates. And he said, so? Well, we would just sit on the bed every night and he would tell me how good it was going to be. And the guy goes, well, I guess that makes sense. What would you expect from a guy who names his company Microsoft? It's bad, right? I told you they're bad. They don't get any better until the very end. Okay, so now, stock options. All right, we are done this semester, folks. Believe it or not, you know everything you need to know. Oh, a couple of things we're going to do that might interest you, but for the most part, no. And so now we're left with the things that you need to know about, but hopefully you will never, ever get involved with. Because instruction about syphilis is not instruction to get syphilis. And that's why people say, why are you teaching them about that? Because we're teaching them to stay away from it. And that's the same thing is true with options and then futures and then shorting and margin, buying on margin. Well, buying on margin may be useful to you someday. That's Thursday. Yes. Oh, sorry. Are there enough? Not enough? I'm sorry. Okay. Sorry about that. Everybody see the spreadsheet? Okay, want to pass the spreadsheet around? Okay. So, this joke may not make sense now, but it should by the end of today. This is, I think I heard it from Warren Buffett. A very, very exclusive party, a high-class, finely clad woman slinked up to the CEO of a Fortune 500 company and said, "I will do anything, anything you want." The CEO flatly responded, "Reprice my options." Now, you probably don't get the joke, but hopefully you will, because you'll see that the price of the options is such an important part of what it's worth. What the hell are they? First of all, we call them options, but the true name, and the reason is because it's hard to say, is options contracts. Or option contract singular option contract, options contract. Try saying that three times fast. It's not easy. Options contract. It's a security, and what do we know about securities? They can be bought and sold, right? They're financial instruments that gives the holder the right to buy or sell a certain amount of an underlying financial asset at a specified price for a specified period of time. You mean you're not actually buying the asset? No. You're buying the right, the ability to buy the asset or sell. And that's why options are so tricky, because there's options to buy and there's options to sell. And they're mirror images of one another's. Any guys with beards, you ever try to trim your beard in the mirror? Yeah. It ain't easy, is it, right? Because you think you're going the right way, and then you go to, you know, because you're in the mirror. So that's what we're going to see, that there's two different types, and they drive the idea, they drive people nuts. So we're going to just talk about stock options, but there are many different types of options. They are not investments. We said at the beginning of the semester that investments are something that we have a reasonable expectation of getting some kind of cash flow or capital gain. Well, that's not true with options. We don't have a reasonable expectation. They are speculating. They are gambling. They are a contract between two, we should use the word, speculators. Because the buyer of the option gets the right to buy or sell the financial asset at a given price for a given period of time, and the seller must fulfill that contract. If the buyer says, "I want to buy it," the seller says, "Okay, here it is." If the buyer says, "I want to sell it," the seller says, "Okay, I'll buy it from you." So you're getting into a contract. All right? So options contracts are a part of a class of securities called derivatives. Remember the definition of derivatives from chapter 1? I said it was a bonus. Hopefully you remember it so you can explain it to somebody else in one or two or three sentences. Securities that derive their value from the price behavior of something else, underlying real or financial assets. There's no voting rights, no dividends, no interest, and they eventually expire. Whereas the stock can last for decades or hundreds of years, right? Bond usually lasts, 10, 20, 30 years. An option lasts, 3 months, 6 months, a year, and then it disappears. And Mr. Garcia is right here. There you go, John. And who's got the spreadsheet? Pass it up, please. Their value comes from the fact that they allow the holder of the option, the buyer of the option, to participate in the price behavior of the underlying asset with a much lower capital outlay. Another one. Okay, you ready? Yes. Yeah, outside, please. But come back in. Don't go away yet. Thank you. Desk, that's what those things are called, and take them outside. Okay. By the way, we're just going to say options. Is that options contract? Is that okay with you? Because it's kind of hard to say. So, we're going to take a look at this. We've already talked a little bit about leverage, and we're going to take a look at it on Thursday again and next week when we get the real estate. Options allow an investor to leverage their outlay of capital. the ability to obtain a given equity position at a reduced capital investment, thereby magnifying returns. With options, you can make the same amount of money from a stock or other security, but we're going to talk about stock options just to make life easy, as if you bought it for full price, but only come up with one-tenth or less of the money. Cool! Doesn't that sound great? Yeah, right. When something sounds too good to be true, it usually is. There's a catch. Much of the time, you're going to lose your entire outlay because options have a time limit and most options expire. So sure, if you bet, and that's what we're doing, speculating, don't use the word bet. If you speculate correctly and the price of the stock does what you think it's going to do, you're going to make a ton of money very quickly. 100% in 3 days. But if it doesn't, if it goes the opposite direction, you're going to lose everything in 1 day. So people say, I made 100% in 3 days. And then I lost it all the fourth day. It disappeared the fourth day. So what's the rationale? What's the rationale? Instead of buying a stock, you buy an option to buy the stock. Or an option to sell the stock. There's two different types of options. If the stock goes up, your option will go up almost always much, much faster. And you can sell the option for a handsome profit. There's only one catch. The option expires in 3, 6, 9 months. If the stock does not go up, the option is worthless. And did I mention that most options expire worthless? Now, there's some controversy over how many options actually expire worthless. Most estimates give 60% or so. Some say, it's only 10%. But what they're doing is they're counting the fact that the person sold the option before it expired, but the option itself expired worthless. And then other people say, it's 90% expired. No, it's not 90%. That's about 60, 70% of options expire worthless. There are some scenarios where options can be worthwhile, but they are few and far between. So let's look at an example here. Stock is currently selling for $20. Now, you think this stock is a winner, right? $20. Could you buy the stock? Let's buy one share. What happens if it zooms up to $30? How much did you make? 50% return on your investment. Is that cool? But instead of buying the stock, you buy an option to buy the stock and at $20. The option might only be $1. You didn't buy the stock, you bought the option. And now you have the right to buy that stock at $20. Now what happens if the stock goes to 30? What's going to happen to your option? It's going to go to 11 or thereabouts, depending on market prices. Do you just see what happened? Instead of making $10 on a $20 investment, you made $10 on a dollar investment, a 1,000% gain. Is that cool? Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. What if the stock stays at 20 or goes down? Would you buy the stock at 20 or 19? I mean, would you buy the stock at 20 if it went down to 19? You could buy it at 19. So what's going to happen to the option? It disappears. You lost your dollar. And people say, I lost a dollar. You still lost. You thought 100% lost on your money. And of course, after it expires, then the stock zooms to $40. You were so sure that the stock was going to hit the big time, and you were absolutely right. But because you bought an option that expired, you lost the ability to share the success of the stock. So my advice, forget about the option, buy the stock. But since this is an introduction to investments class, we need to become proficient in the concepts, terms, and techniques of options. Yes, sir?
So if we bought options on PCG
like January... Oh, my goodness. Oh, you're right. Right. If we had bought options on Pacific Gas and Electric when it was down because people were worried about the bankruptcy, and then it bounced up when the investors finally said, it's not going to go bankrupt. I mean, it's not going to disappear. And we're probably not going to get fleeced. Maybe not. Yeah, we would have just made tons of money. And that's, you hear of insider trading. You hear of insider trading. Well, that's what they usually don't buy the stock. They'll buy the option. You see? Because you can make a hell of a lot more money really quickly with lots of capital. But the SEC will be all over you like a ton of bricks. If all of a sudden, out of the blue, I never trade options. I never have. I probably never will. But all of a sudden, I bought, you know, several contracts. You buy contracts on some company. And then, boom, some material, non-public information, insider information becomes available. Their algorithms will key right on me or whoever. And then they'll say, okay, where did you get the information from? Oh, no, I just decided I was going to start out doing options. I never did options in 20-something years, but I'm doing them now. They're going like, oh, no, buddy. So, they don't catch everybody, certainly. We know that. Okay, so here. There are two types of options, which make it that much more trickier. And as we said, the options are the trickiest parts. Did everybody get a copy? Did everybody get the? Everybody get this? Okay, because you're going to open to the second page of this. The second page. There are call. Oh my goodness, these blue ones are dying. When I didn't have a red, I didn't bring a red. That was dumb. Yes, I did. I did bring a red. I did bring a red. There are call options, which are essentially bullish. And then there are put options, which are essentially bearish. If you believe the stock's going to go up, you'd buy a call option. If you believe the stock was going to go down, you'd buy a put option. So a call option is a negotiable instrument that gives the buyer of the option the right to buy the underlying security. They don't buy it. They can. They have the option. But they're buying the option contract. And when people talk about options, unless they say put options, they're normally talking about calls. They're going to call the stock away from the other person on the other end of the contract. The put option is the exact opposite. You put it to somebody. That's the ability to sell the stock, in this case underlying security, at a stated price within a certain period of time. So it's like looking in a mirror. The two are mirror opposites of one another. And if you turn to page, where is it? Where's mine? Where are mine? It's the second page? Yeah. There's the mirror. It's supposed to look like a mirror. It doesn't. Okay. Where did the terms call and put come from? How will I remember which is which? Well, the term call comes from the idea that when you buy a call option, you get the right to call the stock away. Come here, stock! The term put comes from the idea that when you buy a put option, you get the right to put the stock to the seller of the option. You see? Call it away. Come here, stock. Put it. Go, go, go. Valiente. Sell it to them. And so this is what drives people nuts. And this is one of the major reasons why it's so difficult on the Series 7. Because they're going to give you a scenario, and they're going to have, you know, four or five choices. And if you zig one way, it's one number. And if you zig the other way, it's another number. And they're going to put both answers on the exam, which make it pretty tricky. So you've got to really understand it. It's not impossible once you've done them a few times. And we have a worksheet. But instead of doing the worksheet, we don't have time, I gave you the answer key. I printed out the answer key for you. Okay, so what are the two parties of the option contract? The option buyer is the person who's usually talking about, oh, I bought this option, I think this stock's going to explode. They're the ones that have the ability to call it away, right? The other side of the coin is the option seller. And to make matters worse, they're also called an option writer, and they're also called an option maker. So they're remember the market makers? They're making the ability. They're making the market for these things. So they're all three mean the same thing. They're the person who's going to have to sell it. It's going to be called away from them. If the buyer exercises the option, they don't have to do it. They don't have to do it. They can let it expire worthless, or they can turn around and sell it before it expires. Or they can say, you know, give me the stock. Here's the money. I'm going to buy the stock from you. Does that make sense? Yeah? Okay. Okay. To Raquel, please. Pass that over to Raquel. Okay. So, well, what's in it for this guy, huh? Or this gal? Who? What's in it for them? Well, remember the dollar? That's what they get. They get the premium, it's called, or the price of the option. Question? Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't give you one. Everybody got a... Everybody have, oh. You got to speak up in this world. Because who knows where I am. All right. Got it. Okay. So let's continue and take a look at... Oops. Oh, I'm sorry. Did we go through this yet? No. Here we are. What is the call option buyer hoping for? They're hoping that the price will go up. They're bullish. If the option buyer has a call option to buy at 20 and the price goes to 30, they can buy a $30 stock for 20 bucks. Now, do they have to? No, they can turn around and sell the option before it expires to somebody else. But they have the option to buy the stock at 20 bucks even though it's selling at 30. The call option seller is hoping for the reverse. They hope that it goes down or at least stays the same. If the stock stays around 20, goes down or goes down, the option buyer is not going to want to exercise the option. It will expire worthless, and they get to keep the buck. Cool? Okay, so let's take a look at this. This is Ed and Ted. So who wants to be Ed? Who wants to be Ted? Who's bullish? Somebody? Okay, here's Matt. Matt's bullish. So you're going to read this, and so Adrian, you're going to be bearish? Okay. So here's how it works. Ed is going to pay the dollar for the contract. It's a contract between these two people. Ted receives the dollar. So let's read. Go ahead, Matt, read yours.
Call option buyer. I'm bullish. I pay a premium for the option, the price of the option. I have the right to call away the stock from the call option seller. I want the price of the stock to go up. Does, I can make a lot of money. If it's not, it's a premium I paid.
Oh, well, I lost a dollar. That's the way people think, right? And they do it again. Oh, I lost $2. Oh, well. Okay, now Adrian is on the other side of the contract, right? He's the maker. He's the seller. He's the writer. Okay, so let's read yours.
Call option seller, aka option writer, option maker. I'm bearish or neutral. I receive a premium for the option. I must deliver the stock to the call buyer if he or she calls the stock away from me. I want the price of the stock to go down or stay the same. If it does, I get to keep the call option premium. I don't make a lot of money, but I could lose a lot of money if I am naked.
What? What did you say?
If I'm naked.
He doesn't make a lot of money, right? He gets the dollar. That's it. But what happens if the stock price zooms up? You see how he could lose a ton of money? Because if the stock price zooms up, he's got to go out and buy it at 30 bucks to sell it to the buyer, sell it to Matthew, at $20. See what just happened? Now, how can he cover himself? How can he not be naked? He can cover himself by having the shares already. See, he has the shares. So he doesn't have to go out and buy them. What does he have to do? If Matt exercises the option, pays him the 20 bucks, he's got to give the shares to Matthew. So that's called a covered call. And that is the only option transaction that's allowed inside an IRA. That's the only one. You cannot do options normally in retirement accounts except for that. You can say, look, I own the shares. I'm thinking about buying. I'm thinking about selling them. But I'm not quite sure. So instead of selling them, I'm going to write, make, sell an option. I'll get a dollar, right? I was thinking of selling it anyway at $20. So if it does zoom up, I have to sell it at 20 bucks. But I essentially get $21. You with me? Because he had to pay this dollar to get the option. So he pays whoever this guy is, the buyer, pays the dollar for the option. Then I have to pay $20, so I basically get $21. I was thinking of selling it anyway. Are you with me? It makes sense? So covered calls are a way to kind of juice your returns. Yes?
So if he doesn't have, like, say, 100 shares, he's obligated to buy however many higher.
He's got to go out and buy the shares and then turn around and sell them to you. Yeah, well, it's as we're going to see, options contracts are always 100 shares. They go in 100 share lots. So you just don't buy one share, or you don't buy the option to buy one share. You buy the option to buy 100 shares. That's one contract. If you buy two contracts, it's 200 shares. Three contracts, 300 shares. So they go in round lots.
What's the percentage that it needs to go down in order for them to get that one?
Well, if it goes down,
anything.
They're not going to. Why would you do that? Say it goes down to $19. Would you exercise the option? You can buy it at $19. You see, the option says I can buy this stock at $20. So you would only exercise the option if it were in the money. That's the term they use. If it were over $20, then it makes sense for you to exercise the option. If it goes below that, why would you go out and buy a stock at $20 that you can buy for $19? And that's why most options expire worthless, you see? Because if the stock goes down or stays the same, you wouldn't bother. You'd just say, oh, well, I lost. Did I lose you on that one? That makes sense? I mean, think about it. Think about it. If you want to buy that stock at $20, but it's at 17 or 18, 19, well, you know, why? It's stupid. Why would I option that? I wouldn't do that. Questions, thoughts, ideas? Cute? You like these things? It gets better because now we got to look at the other side of the coin, right? No matter what happens to the price of the stock, he must sell it at $20. That's called the strike price. Okay, now, the other side of the coin is a put option. A put option, the option buyer, is bearish. That's why I use red, because they want it to go down. Whereas the option seller, the option maker, the option writer is either bullish or neutral, chicken, so to speak. They want it to basically go up or stay the same. These guys want it to go down. All right? So the put option buyer of the contract is the person who will do the putting to. They're going to sell it. They have the right to put the stock, sell it to the option seller. They don't have to exercise this right, and often options just expire worthless. Because if it goes up, why would you sell it to somebody at 20 when you can sell it to somebody else at 23? The seller in the option contract, also the writer, the maker, has to buy the stock away. It's going to be put to them. They're legally bound. They got into a contract. Either way, they get the dollar. They get to keep that dollar or whatever the price of the option were. So the option buyer, as we said, is hoping for the price to go down. If it went down to $10, they can sell somebody a stock for $20 that they can turn around and buy for $10. Or just turn around and sell the option. Whereas the option seller is hoping that the price either goes up or stays the same, because then they don't have to buy it from the person, and they get to keep their option premium. So it's the same idea. You see, the flow comes from the buyer to the seller, but the transaction is completely different. So who wants to? Who's bearish in here? Who's bearish? Anybody? Who's my bull? Let's pick a bull. Want to be a bull? No, not really. Somebody. Who wants to? Who's bearish? Who's frightened by the price of the stock? Nobody. Who's excited? You excited? Here, you're excited. You're frightened. Okay, so Eric Reed, you are the option buyer.
Put options seller. I'm bullish or neutral.
Wait a minute, I get it wrong. I did it backwards. He's the buyer.
I'm bearish. I pay a premium for the option, the price of the option. I have the right to put the stock to the fifth. To the put option seller. I want the price of stock to go down. The If it does, I can make a lot of money. If it does not, I lose the premium I paid.
So if the stock goes down to 15, he can sell that stock at 20, then he can turn around and buy at 15. All right? So now you're the seller. You're the person on the other side of the contract. You're Ned.
Put off the seller. I'm bullish. I receive a premium for the option. I'm going to purchase the stock from the buyer. Or I'm going to purchase the stock from the put buyer if he, she puts the stock to me. I want the price of the stock to go up or stay the same.
Keep reading.
If it does, I get to keep the put option premium. I don't make a lot of money, but I could lose a lot of money if I'm naked.
He's naked again, right? So he, the most amount of money he can make is the dollar, whatever the premium is, right? But he can lose a lot of money if the price went down, didn't he? But he's thinking, you know what, I'm going to buy this stock anyway, but I'm not quite sure. So if he wants to cover himself, what does he need? All he needs is to have enough money to buy the stock at 20. He was going to buy it anyway. So essentially, if the premium were a dollar, he gets to buy it at 19. Now, of course, if it goes down to 12, oh well, he could have waited. But he's going to buy it at 20 anyway, right? You see the idea? This is the only other option transaction that I would be interested in. And by the way, unfortunately, this one's not allowed in an IRA. I don't know why. If you're going to allow a covered call, why shouldn't you allow this one? I don't understand why they do that. Another way to cover yourself is to have a put option on the same stock. So you can have a put. You sold the put option at 20. You buy a put option at 18. So that the stock goes down to 17 or 16, you just turn around and you put it to somebody else. Now you see why your broker loves options? Because they see what goes on in Las Vegas. And they see that people get really excited about gambling. And every time you buy one of these and every time you sell one of these, who gets the cut? The brokerage firm. You have to pay a commission. Yes?
I just don't get, why even make something like that if you...
Why
even have the option?
I don't know who created it. I don't know the history of them. But obviously, what is the point? I agree. What is the point? The point is to make brokerage firms very, very wealthy. Because every time somebody buys and sells, the brokerage firm gets a cut. They get a commission.
But, hypothetical.
It's a contract. You're selling
You don't
own
it yet.
You don't own it. You're right. You don't own it. Why? I agree with you. Giovanna, I'm with you. I'm in your camp. I think these things are gambling. Stay away from them. Don't do them. I'm not teaching you this so you'll do it. You need to understand it, though. Even though, 2 weeks later, from after the semester's over, you're going to go, now, how the hell do those things work? but at least you will understand it for a couple of weeks. And if you take the Series 7, you got to really bone up on it. This is one of the toughest parts of the Series 7, is options. And you're right. I don't like them at all, Giovanna. I've never done a stock option. I probably never will. But if I were to do one, I would do either a covered call on shares I already have, or a naked put on a stock I was thinking about buying, but I wasn't quite sure. See? Doesn't mean you still can't lose, but you can lose big.
But technically, what is there to lose if you didn't?
What? What is there to lose?
Well, your money.
Yeah, your money. Right. That's what's there to lose, right. You can lose a lot of money quickly. Oh, in fact, let me show you how much. Here's somebody who was absolutely sure that he was in a position that he had no risks. Trader says he has no money at risk, then promptly loses almost 2,000%. If you have trouble imagining a 20% loss in the stock market, you shouldn't be in stock. It's Jack Bogle. But this guy didn't think about the 2,000. So this guy set up he bought 2,000 contracts. $15 calls, $10 calls, $10 puts, $15 puts. It's called a box spread. It gets really exotic. But he thought that the things would cancel themselves out. He thought that if he bought a call and a put and a call, they would cancel themselves out. Well, sometimes that happens, but other times it doesn't. And he lost 200%, 2,000%. And people were trying to say, don't do this. Do not do this. Okay, so what is this, how he started? He started with a $5,000, put in quotes, investment. This is a speculation. He figured it was a slam dunk. I have no money at risk. It literally cannot go tits up. Famous last words. Every one of the group's moderators pleaded, don't do this. He did manage to withdraw $10,000 before the organic matter hit the ventilating device. And then he shared his results. $58,000 he's down. He owes. Your Robinhood account has been closed. Meanwhile, you owe us. How much? He put in $5,000. And he still owes them $55,000. Oh, well, I don't know. I don't know if Robinhood is allowed to charge interest yet. I don't know if they are. I don't think they are yet. They're trying to. That's one of the things they do. Most brokerage firms are going to... That's Thursday. Wait till we get to Thursday. Most brokerage firms allow you to have what are called margin accounts. And I don't think Robinhood's got that ability yet. Maybe they do. Either way, yeah, if they do, they're going to charge him interest until he pays up. Do you think Robinhood's going to get that money? He's probably not. He's probably just going to go, I'm bankrupt. Or maybe not. Maybe he's got the cash. Who knows? But he didn't know what the hell he was doing. It literally cannot go tits up, and it did. All right. At the end of the 40th, the way he said it. Okay, so you can read it. It's on the link. So, but look, he stayed tuned for the comeback court. This guy, he's going to come back. He's going to go, oh, what a goofball. So do you see what I'm saying? Did I answer your question? You can lose a lot of money quickly in options. So are you going to buy and sell them? Good. I've done my job. Okay, let's go. Options are confusing, aren't they? In fact, the section on options is one of the hardest parts of the Series 7 stockbroker exam. Options sound like gambling. Am I right? Yes, you are. In my humble opinion, options are a form of gambling. It is a zero-sum game. Someone wins, someone loses. You don't know who. But the house, the brokerage firm, always wins. A family acquaintance once called me and said, hey, Frank! He was so excited. I hear you can make a lot of money investing in options. I said, well, wait a minute. I think I know what I'm doing, right? Yes, you can make a lot of money. You can also lose a lot of money, but you can't invest in options. You can speculate in options. You cannot invest in something that has a 60% chance of being worthless in 3 months. That's not investing. That's gambling. And so that's what you're going to tell folks when they say, oh, this guy said I can make $100 a day with options, or, you know, how 1,000% with my options. And what are you going to tell them? You can, but are you likely to? Yeah, maybe once, and the other 10 times or 8 times you lose your money. But that's the gambler's lament. They'll tell you about the time they won $1,000, right? They won't tell you about the other time when they gambled away the rent money and the car money. That's what happened. We're humans. Cool? Okay, now, I am going to just zip through the rest of it, okay? So what we do now is we talk about all the different aspects. And they're going to be on the final, but you know what? I'm going to give you the questions and the answers. Okay? Well, maybe I don't have the answers on there. But before the exam, it's not up there yet, because I haven't created it yet. But I'm going to give you all the questions for options and futures and shorting and buying on margin. Is that cool? And why are we doing that? Not to be nice. It's just that we don't want you to be spending the next 2 weeks trying to internalize all this crap. Because for me, it is something you want to stay away from, but you need to know it. You need to know it. And so, as we said, okay, first. So, also, we have a bonus assignment. So let's take a look at the bonus assignment. Where is it? Let's see if I know what I'm doing. Is that page number 3, right? Or last one. I think it's the last page. Everybody got one? Yeah, last page, the front. I didn't number them. The optional extra credit bonus assignment. It's very easy, actually. You're going to either use MarketWatch or finance.yahoo.com. It's getting harder and harder to find good free options quotes, just like it's hard to find good bond quotes. So let's go to... By the way, these are just some examples of the stuff you'll see out there. Just type in options trading. You'll see all these places trying to tell you, here's a cool, I like this one. A lot of them disappear within a few months or so. That's why I don't usually put them up there. But this one's been around for a couple of years. There she is. I'll go away. There she is. I have a question. 5 days. 10 3-hour sessions. Only $5,000. Holy crap. That's more per hour than you paid for this class. It must be worth it. Guaranteed. No, you're not interested? No, okay. Just want to let you know. Not the only ones. I'm not just trying to pick on these guys. But let's go to. You know, oh, it's a video. Let's go to Yahoo. So Yahoo's is not as good as MarketWatch as I think. But let's take a look at both of them. So let's take a look at Kellogg's. Whatever, just Kellogg's. So what's Kellogg selling for? They're selling for about $57. So now if we come over here to options. They do the calls, and then they do the puts underneath. So these are the calls for May 17th. So these options are going to expire very quickly. There are, the typical one is the third week in every month. So June 21st, September 20th, September 20th. So they go out a couple of years. They're not supposed to. These are called, believe it or not, leaps, because they go more than a year. I don't know how they work. But right at $57 is where we would see the most amount of action. And notice, I guess they went down today, yeah. Notice the call options got clobbered today around the price. These call options got clobbered. Why? Because the price went down. And they only have, till May 17th? That's next, not this Friday, but the next Friday. They only have until next Friday for them to come back, right? Whereas we're going to see the put options are going to go up. Because the price went down, the put option zoomed up. You see, would you be happy with 66% in one day? Would you be sad with negative 40% in one day? But that's what it's like. So what I want you to do is check it today or tomorrow and then come back 1 week later. So watch, I gave you Google and Procter & Gamble. But you can pick any company. One should be fairly volatile, a tech company, pick Amazon or Netflix or Titter. And then one should be a Kellogg's, a Johnson & Johnson, a Procter & Gamble. And you should see the volatile one, the tech stock. You see that go way up and down. If you want to, check it every day because it's pretty amazing. And people say, look how much I would have made. Next day, look how much I would have lost. Yes? Most all... The ones that we're going to be looking at, there are some, penny stocks that they won't have options.
What about,
I'm sure Tesla has options. Mm-hmm. Any large cap stock's going to have them. Okay, now let's take a look at MarketWatch, which I think is a little bit better. Let's see. Yes? Okay.
So the options, do you ever think about stocks that you're safer than others, or does that matter? It's just a betting game on the side.
Well, yes. You made a very good point. That's why I asked you to look at two. The options for companies that are very volatile are going to bounce high and low, aren't they? So those prices are going to be higher. You're going to pay more for them. Companies that are more stable, like a Kellogg's, like a Johnson & Johnson, those options are going to be less volatile because the stock is less volatile. So that those prices are going to be lower for that stock, the options for that stock. Does that make sense? So that's why I ask you to look at a tech one, some volatile company. And if you want to look at one of the marijuana stocks, or just look at something volatile and then look at something not so volatile. And now if we look at We look at Yahoo. Where is it? Oh, this is MarketWatch. I'm sorry. MarketWatch, you have to go to this guy right here. And what did we do? Kellogg's? We just looked at Kellogg's. K for Kellogg's. And then there's a little more trickier. Here it is. Options. So $57. Now, what I like about MarketWatches is that they put them next to one another. You see, the calls are over here. And you can't really see it, but these are in the money, right? And then these are in the money on the other. It's an option. It's a mirror image. So it shows you the calls and the puts next to one another, which I think is kind of cute. And you play with it. So what are they selling? And then you can go to June. Let's take a look at June. You'll see that the prices will be a little higher because there's more time for the option to do its magic. Questions, thoughts, ideas? Now, go through the presentation, but don't spend a whole lot of time on it, because you really should understand these to the point where you can explain to somebody why they're so dangerous. So that when they say, oh, this guy told me if I just take this class for $3,000 3 days, I'll be able to make $100 a day, $1,000 a day with very little money. And then you're going to explain them why you might do that one day out of 21. Cool? So you understand why, buying, selling, and then we go through all the different examples, speculating and all that stuff. So go through it. Don't spend too much time on it. Now, here's employee stock options. Okay, employee stock options are, these options are, they're a little different than regular options. They're not securities in that you cannot turn around and sell them to somebody else. But many companies now, instead of paying you a high salary, they'll give you stock options, which if the company does well, you can become very, very wealthy. But if the company doesn't do so well, what's going to happen to your options? Yeah. And you have to usually wait 3, 4, 5, up to 7 years before you can actually vest and exercise your options. Are you with me? And that's why the CEO said, reprice my options. In other words, his company didn't do so well. He's got options to buy at 15. The stock is selling for 12. It's like, they're not worth anything. And there's some definite problems with these things. If you're interested, follow it in the news. But there's still some fallout going along with these things. But now it's calmed down. But after the tech bubble burst, a lot of people were just ruined. You know, they thought they were millionaires, and then they became worthless. And then they were hit with taxes. They were hit with taxes using the alternative minimum tax, because the alternative minimum tax doesn't care if you never exercise your options. If you got the options and they were worth something, the alternative minimum tax is you owe tax on the paper gain, even though the darn thing might have become worthless. So people were hit with $60,000, $100,000 tax bills on options that were worthless. It's very insane. So stay away from options. And then warrants are like options, but warrants are only called. They're only for options to buy. And they are often given to you when you buy a stock, a new stock, a new issue. They'll say, you know, buy 100 shares. Okay, we'll give you 10 warrants. They're like a sweetener. And you can turn around and sell the warrants or exercise the warrants later on. And they usually last years. So check out those. And there'll be questions, and I'll give you the questions and the answers. But what's the final comment on options? Stay away from them. Stay away from the possible. Okay, and so go on the website. Oh, OptionX, I got to change this, because OptionX now is bought by Tom's Trading Salon or something like that. Tom's Trading Salon, and so he doesn't do it. OptionX is the one. They used to go around to different cities and have these 2-hour free seminars. They're basically 2 hours of haranguing you while you got to take the $3,000 3-day thing. So it usually happened on a Sunday. And I rode my bike on Sundays, and so I'd make it so that I make it to the hotel that they were at about the time that people were coming in. I hold up the sign, options are gambling. And people would come in, who are you? So I teach this stuff at the community college. Did you buy? I don't know. I didn't buy options. I'll sell options. I try to keep people away from them. So I hope, you know, they're in the seminar going, that guy out there says options are gambling. I wonder what they would say. He doesn't know what he's talking about. You're right. I don't know either, but I don't know what I'm talking about. Now, along with options are futures. Futures are not options. They are a different animal.
but they are even more dangerous. However, the cool thing about futures is that they actually have, as Giovanna said, what the hell is the use of these things? What the hell the use is, you know, is a casino? Just, you know, just people enjoy gambling, I guess. I don't know why. But futures actually have a very important usage in the economy, but not for us. And Mark Twain, said it best. There are two times in a man's life, when he should not speculate. When he can't afford it, and when he can. And he should know. Samuel Clements, which is his real name, Mark Twain had the smarts. As a citizen, Samuel Clements just made the worst investment decisions and pissed away his fortune on these ridiculous investments and investments. But he missed his writer, his alter ego understood that no, these things are dangerous. So what's a futures contract? There is an options contract. What is a futures contract? Well, it's similar, but it's a commitment to deliver a certain amount of some specified item at some specified date in the future. Whereas the option was the ability to optionally do it, the future said, no, you're going to do it. You're entering into this contract, you're going to deliver this product, or you're going to buy this product. And they started with, the buyer and the seller specify a commodity or financial instrument to be delivered and paid when the contract matures. The price that is set in the contract is guaranteed. They started with what are called commodities, hard assets, real assets, wheat, soybeans, oil, gold, coffee, pork bellies. Anybody ever see the old movie Trading Places? They talk about pork bellies. What are pork bellies? Bacon. That's where the bacon comes from, the pork belly. Would you give this to Laura, please? Put that back to Laura. But then futures move to financial assets. Very interesting. But let's not do the financial assets first. Let's do what makes sense to us if we just take a look at it. Producers of commodities use futures contracts extensively. So you're a wheat farmer in Iowa. You ever been to Iowa? It's a whole lot of farms, folks. And it's not flat, like people say it is. It's not flat. There's a bike ride across Iowa, and everybody says it's flat. No, it's not. So you're a wheat farmer, and you got 1,000 acres of wheat in April. So you planted in April. Now, he knows if all goes well, Lord willing, and the creek don't rise, come September, he's going to have 500,000 bushels of wheat. Today, in April, September wheat futures are selling for $6 a bushel. You see? He looks on his computer or says he has a broker do it for him, and he can sell his wheat now, even though it's just in the ground and it's not going to come be ready for 6 months or six months in September. But he has a contract to sell his wheat at $6 a bushel. He can guarantee the price that he is happy with and will result in a profit. The contract states that he will deliver the wheat in September, receive $6 per bushel, no matter what happens to wheat prices. Make sense? Who needs 500,000 bushels of wheat?
Cereal
companies, right? Bread companies. So the consumers of the commodities also use them. Kellogg's, General Mills, Post Cereal, they need tons and tons of wheat each year to make cereal and other foodstuffs. General Mills. Via the futures contract, in April, they can purchase the wheat to be delivered in September and pay $6 per bushel, no matter what happens to wheat prices. So what are the disadvantages? What are the advantages? Yeah, if the price increased, the farmer's screwed, and these guys are protected. But what if the price decreases? The farmer's protected, and these guys are screwed. So when you hear that oil is selling for, whatever it is, $68 a barrel now, that's not today. That's 3 months from now.
and there's a set date that that stuff has to show up at the oil refinery. And are you with me? Does that make sense? Yeah, question?
So futures are more for like big customers.
Commodities producers and commodities consumers. So farmers and food producers. But also companies that make steel, right? They need a certain amount of coal. They need a certain amount of, what else do they use in steel? Coal and iron ore. I'm sorry. I knew that. They need a ton of, you know, tons of iron ore, tons of coal. So they can say, okay, today I will buy that stuff for delivery 6 months from now. And I know that I'm going to get this certain price. And then the producers say, okay, you know, we'll deliver that. And this is the price you'll pay us 6 months from now. So these things are very important for the economy. They've been around for hundreds of years. Questions, thoughts? Yes.
In the auto example, how does the farmer get screwed? Like, unless, is he have to be in it?
Oh, no, he's on the hook now. How does he get screwed? What if the price goes up?
Oh, because he has his companies here.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't want to be a farmer, folks. You don't want to be a farmer. It's one of the hardest jobs in the world. The rains come at the right time. The sun comes at the right time. The bugs don't come. Everything is perfect. You have a huge crop. What happens to the price? Plummets. Why? Because everybody else has a huge crop, right? And then the rains came at the wrong time, flooded everything, the mildew, the bugs, there's no sun, and you don't have much stuff to sell. What happens to the price? Skyrockets. And that's why the government is often involved in the farming world, because we want people to eat and things go wrong. Okay, so now, futures contracts allow producers and consumers of commodities to hedge. Hedging means taking a futures position opposite to the existing position in the underlying commodity or financial instrument. Have you heard the term hedge your bet? No, you ever heard it? What it means is, be careful, you know, right? You put everything here, do something over here just in case this doesn't work out. So the farmer is protecting himself from wheat prices falling. The cereal companies are protecting themselves from wheat prices rising. And this is something that several years ago, when oil just skyrocketed right before the Great Recession, all the airlines lost money, except for Southwest, because they had bought a ton of futures for several years in oil. So they were protected. No matter what, they got to buy it at this price, where the other companies didn't do that. They might have done a little bit, but I don't know who else, maybe other airlines outside the United States, but the only airline that was making any money in the United States for a few years was, it wasn't that few years, it was 2006 and 7 was Southwest. So look at all the different commodities, right? Oil, coffee, cocoa, livestock, the grain, copper, electricity. They buy and sell electricity. I'll deliver this much electricity to you. Figure out how they do that. It's all got to be done right at the time that they create the electricity. You can't store it. I don't know if you followed what Tesla did in Australia. Did you follow what Tesla did in Australia? They've been making these battery systems. And you can buy one for your house, but they're making them huge now. That's the thing that's killing Tesla. Where are the batteries? And they, Elon Musk himself, made a deal with this state in Australia, because Australia has a real problem with the heat and air conditioning, and the grid was failing. He said, look, we'll produce this battery backup system. I forget what it was, 100 megawatts, some outrageous amount of battery. And we'll do it in 100 days from the day we break ground. And if we don't, it's free. And the governor or someone said, okay, you're on. And they've saved millions of dollars with this thing. Why? Because they're able to save the electricity, and then when the price gets high because there's more usage needed, they turn around and sell it back at a higher price. That's pretty sharp. Okay, so what are financial futures? The financial world adopted the technique of futures contracts to financial assets, treating financial assets like commodities, currencies, interest rates, stock and bond indices. I will deliver $25,000 worth of British pounds to you next April. I will purchase $10,000 worth of the Standard & Poor's 500 stock index from you next August. So they treat securities as if they were wheat or corn or oil. For those working in the world of finance, and especially the world of international business, these can be very useful tools. So you're a car manufacturer here in the States, and you're buying your engines from Japan. And you know, next October, you're going to need 50,000 engines. Well, what happens if the dollar plummets vis-a-vis the yen before then? All of a sudden, you're not profitable anymore. You were expecting this price and this price and this price, and now the dollar has gone down, which means it's going to cost a whole lot more to buy those engines in Japan. So you can buy a currency future so that you know, this is how much I'm going to pay when I have to actually go out and buy those engines. Does that make sense? So you see, these things have a lot of usage, but not for us. Can anyone purchase futures? Lucky you. You don't have to work in either the commodities world or the finance world to buy and sell futures contracts. You can be a speculator. You don't have a position opposite to the position you're taking. You can buy and sell the futures contracts. You never actually deliver the stuff or take delivery of the commodity, nor the financial assets. You could buy the 500,000 bushels to be delivered in September, even though you live in a condo in West LA and you've never even seen a farm. What's the potential for loss? Unbelievable. You can lose tens of thousands of dollars overnight. And they're not going to let you. They're going to watch you like a hawk. And as soon as you start losing, they're going to kick you out of the position. But sometimes it happens so fast that you saw the one guy got hit by that $50,000. Speculating is accepting the future's price risk without having the position opposite to the existing position in the underlying commodity or financial instrument. It's the opposite of hedging. See, the farmer was hedging his bets. He was saying, look, you know, I'm going to have these 500,000 bushels of corn or wheat, and I could hope, you know, that the price goes up, but I'm going to hedge my bets. And they don't have to sell all of it. They could sell, you know, half of it or something like that and leave some in case the price goes up. So he's got the position opposite. He has the wheat. He now has to sell it. Whereas it's the opposite way for the cereal manufacturers. They know they're going to have to buy the stuff. They can wait and hope for the price to go down. Or they can say, no, I'll take a position opposite to what I have to do, and that way I'm protected. If the price goes down, oh well. So, the book, future speculation is risky, but it is potentially rewarding if you can accurately forecast the direction of future commodity price movements. Can anyone accurately do that? There are people who can do it inaccurately, and they do, and they get paid a lot of money. But if our L.A. speculator sitting in a condo had purchased the futures contract for 500,000 bushels of wheat to be delivered in September and wheat prices plummeted, they can lose hundreds of thousands of dollars. But as I said, they're not going to let it happen. As soon as you start losing a lot of money, they'll kick you out and say, and yet it's part of the agreement that you clicked on to agree to it. So where are they bought and sold? It started in Chicago, and that makes a lot of sense. There are some in Kansas City, too, because that's where all the farmers would send their wheat to be loaded up and sent through the St. Lawrence River, and all the cattle people would bring their cattle there to be butchered and sold all over the country. So that's where there is, but it's sold now. Options and futures are sold everywhere now on all the major exchanges. So the long position is the buyer of the futures contract. They're protected from the increases. And the short position, we'll just talk about long and short on Thursday, is the seller. That's the wheat farmer. Cool? So, futures seem like options. Do they seem similar? They are similar, except futures actually have a reason to be. With John and Giovanna, I don't think options have a reason to be other than gambling. Financial futures work very much like options. There is potential for great rewards, but there is also much more the likelihood of sustaining great losses, and they are staggering. And, of course, every time you buy and sell, your broker gets a commission. And now you can purchase options on futures contracts. Yeah. Okay, so what's the final comment on futures? Yeah, stay away from them. Stay away from them. Instruction about syphilis is not an instruction to get syphilis. They are even more potentially dangerous than options unless you happen to be a producer or a consumer, in which case they are important tools for you. Cool? And that was 2 days worth of work in only one day. I apologize. But as I said, I'm going to give you all the questions that are going to be on the final exam about options and futures. And then on Thursday, we'll do shorting, buying on margin. Now, only 4 people have given me Baffle the Brokers. So I want some more. Let's get some questions. Okay? Who needs a Baffle the Broker? Okay. Any question about investments? About, you can ask questions about options and futures. Do you have one? No? I gave these. Don't put them in your... Write it down now. That's what happened last time. You all put them in your notebook, and then you walked away from them, and then come back with them. Put them down now. You got 5 minutes. Any question at all? And if you don't, I don't have enough of these. Who needs... Who has their... You need these? Any question at all? What? That's okay. That's... So just any question about investments? Why is the sky blue? Where do babies come from? I told you, if you're so smart, how come you're not rich? what else? Where does mayonnaise, how do you make mayonnaise? What's the width of an electron? How do we get rid of Trump? Yeah, okay, so on Thursday, we can, okay, everybody get the, this thing? Okay, everybody got that. If you're a broker, you would love to have one of your clients hooked on these things. Because that's what people do. I mean, one of the guys, he was a lawyer. I mean, I'm sure he still is. This was 20 years ago. He was buying and selling these things. This is during the dot-com craze. And I'm just, why are you doing it? I wasn't my client. Not my client. He was their client for a long time. And he didn't do very well. His wife was not happy. Okay, I'm going to pass these in. Everybody pass these in. And then these two guys right here. Okay, so once you've did your Baffle the Broker, put them right there anonymously, and then we'll see you on Thursday. So, okay, who? Carlos, Denise, Guillermo, everybody get their exam? Yeah, everybody got their exam. This is here. Laura. Okay, that's yours, right? Oh, no, whose is this? Oh, it's the exam, right. So. You have the exam itself, Laura? You can keep the formula sheets, but we want the exam back. There you go. There it is. Thank you. What a great class! Not like last semester's class. Boy, were they dumb! But good looking class. But, yeah, leave it right there. They were so dumb. Oh, who has the spreadsheet? Aren't you going to say how dumb were they? No, they were so dumb, you're supposed to say. How dumb were they? They were so dumb they tripped over a cordless phone. Okay, you guys are tired. So am I. It's the end of the semester. It gets real tired. You can all get real tired.
Earlier, we asked you about refinancing.